Take me past the outer courts, through that holy place, past the brazen altar. Lord, I want to see only your face. Pass me by the crowds of people, oh, the priests that sing your praise. I hunger and thirst after righteousness, but it's only found in your presence. Lord, take me into the holiest of all. Take me in this morning, Jesus. Take me in by the blood of the Lamb. Take us, Jesus. Take me into the holiest of holies. Take the cold. Here I am. Take the cold this morning. Take the cold. Cleanse my lips. Here I am. Take me in. Take me in, Jesus. Take me into the holiest of holies. Take me in by the blood of the Lamb. Take take the cup, take the cup, cleanse my lips, here I am. We enter in this morning, enter in, into the temple, give thanks to the ancient of days, to our name. Give thanks to the ancient of days. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Shout, holy people. How excellent is thy name. Praise his name. For his mercies are to mercies this morning. Give thanks to the ancient of. We give you thanks. Give thanks to the ancient of days. Ancient of days. Give thanks to the ancient of days. Take the cup, take the cup, cleanse my lips, here I am. Trust and obey this morning. Trust and obey. When we walk with the Lord, in the light of His word, the glory is it, Lord, our way, while we know His good will, He abides with us still, and
a burden,
not a burden we bear, but a sorrow is she. At a tolly dog, richly repaid, not to thief nor a loss, not to vow nor a cost, at this place if we pass. Never can prove the light of his love until all on the altar we lay. Oh, a favor he shows,
hallelujah,
and the joy he bestows. I would do that with past and oh, where he will lead me, I will go. Oh, I have learned to trust him so. Him I remember, pass for me, that he was there.
the Spirit in there.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
There's a land that is fairer than day.
Yes.
And by faith, I can see.
There's a land that is
fairer than day. And by faith, I can see.
This is the family of God. If you don't love your brother here, I don't know if you're going to be there.
Amen.
Because
Amen.
Friends, this is the beginning of something eternal. The prophet says eternal life starts at the altar.
Amen.
It starts right from the beginning. It's so wonderful to gather with his family here. Because this is a foretaste of his family there. Amen. You may be seated, saints, for 1 second. Would you greet everyone this morning in Jesus' name? Thanks very much to the musicians there. God bless you, saints. It's really good to be gathered in his name once again today.
Amen.
Springtime. It's Amen. Wonderful. It's getting warm. Amen. Spiritually and naturally. It's so good to see Brother Pele as well. You always miss Brother Pele when he's not there. God bless you, brother. Amen. Just really wanted to those who have never met Brother Nanda before, just wanted to introduce Brother Nanda. Brother Nanda Chetty from Mauritius. Just thinking of it, it's next week would be 10 years. Exactly. We were on the plane, about to fly for a honeymoon to Mauritius, not knowing there were any believers there at all. And then Brother George texts me while we were on the plane, and I got a message saying, Brother, the pastor from Mauritius has just phoned.
Amen.
He's got a brother from Mauritius coming to Dublin. Could you look after him? So I said, Brother George, there's believers there. He says, yes, I've already told him that you're coming. And he said, please tell him to come and preach for me tomorrow morning. So we didn't go on the Sunday, but we went to meet Brother Nanda and them on the Tuesday, I think it was. And then we had service on Wednesday. And it was such a wonderful time to meet. And Brother Nanda took us all around Mauritius and so forth. The saints, they are doing a wonderful work. They had a very good prison ministry. I remember at that time, really powerful testimonies. Now there's a lot of missionary work they're doing to Madagascar. I remember they were also funding, printing books in Malagasy, taking the spoken words right throughout Madagascar. Now there's a big prison work going on there. So we really do praise the Lord. It's so wonderful. You know, even just thinking of it with Brother David, it's now 16 years next week since we came here to Ireland.
Amen.
You know, and we left Zimbabwe seeking freedom of religion because of all the persecution and the problems that were going on there in the message. And you never ever realize the goodness of God. No, we didn't know. I remember when Brother Dave and I got on the plane flying to Zurich, we didn't know what the future held. We just knew, look, there's a lot of confusion in the past. But, friends, the footsteps of the righteous are ordered by the Lord. He says, I know the plans that I have for you, saith the Lord. Plans to give you an expected end, plans of peace and not of evil. And, you know, when I think back on these years gone by, just all of the blessed times we've had. Now, to meet people like Brother Nanda, Brother Lubanza, to meet people, you know, fellowshipping, Brother Francois, we met here, Brother Max has come, Brother Wilma, all of the saints. You know, God knew that. Now, you may look at yourself now and wonder about your future, but I'm telling you, if you put your future in the hands of God, you've got a bright future. Amen. You know, the good times are ahead. And sometimes when you go through the valleys, you go through the trials, it's just setting up for something good. Because the Bible says, hold on, my child. Joy comes in the morning. Weeping may last just for a night. So I really thank the Lord for these years that we've been here. Now, when we got here, we didn't know there was any fellowship in the whole of Ireland. And the saints all around, Brother George Quinn in Donegal, the saints from Belfast, they were praying for years for the Lord to raise something up in Dublin. Sometimes they were coming to give out tracts, sometimes coming to minister in Dublin, but nothing ever started in Dublin. And I remember Brother George Quinn saying they even came to the point they thought nothing will ever start there. It's a very hard city, they thought. And it was just the grace of God that we came. And Brother Tom helped us at first. Brother Billy came, took the first service. I remember Sister Shida was there. Sister Shida was the first one who repented, was baptized. And then Brother George came. Then Brother Tony repented. Friends, it's the grace of God. Sometimes it's good to look back. The Bible says the Lord has been mindful of us. He will bless us. Now what he's done for us in the past, it's a sure and evident token of the goodness that he has in store. So we're really so glad to have met the cream of God's people. Now, I think back at the ministers the Lord has sent our way through these years. We've had such wonderful ministers down through the years. Brother Beckett, different ones. We've had a real blessed time here, just being a small group of people, but the Lord so much has cared for us. And he hasn't finished yet. Amen. And that's why Brother Nanda's here today to come to continue on from last night. So we really do want to ask him to take his liberty and pray the Lord's blessing upon him. Let's just pray before he comes to the pulpit. Father, we so thank you, Lord. Father, you are so faithful. Even when we can't see your hand, but Father, you have everything in your control. Even when we don't know the future, but Lord, the future's already laid out in you. So we just want to come, even as the song has said, to lay ourselves on the altar and to trust and obey. For there's no other way, Father, just to trust in you. And Lord, we thank you for each of your servants that we've met, who have come and stood and ministered to your body and to your people through these years that lay behind. And so glad that we met Brother Nanda that time when you ordained our footsteps to cross in such a strange way. And Father, you've allowed us to keep fellowship from then, Lord. And Father, he's been such a blessing, Lord, to us, even in our memory, Lord, even in the testimony of what you've done with the believers there. Continue to bless them. Continue to enlarge their borders, Lord. Continue to be an enemy to their enemies. Continue, Lord, to establish them. And Father, bless that work in Madagascar, Lord. May it continue to prosper and thrive. And continue to work your work, Lord. And even this service this day, Father, as our brother would come, Lord, to minister your word, I just pray that he'd be hidden behind the cross, Lord. I just pray, Lord, that, Father, I just see it just be a vessel in your hand once again to minister to us the needs that you have. Won't you bless this day? Bless your people. Father, those that are in our midst at this time wondering about their future, oh Lord, I just pray, reveal yourself to them that, Father, they may trust in you who is the future. That, Father, Lord, they may just embark upon this day, on the beginning of this great journey. Oh, Father, what a wonderful, what a precious thing that it is, Lord, the things that you have in store and the things that you unveil to us each step of the way. So continue your work this day. Be glorified in this service, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Brother Nanda, God bless you, brother.
God bless you, saints. Amen. Are you happy to be in the house of the Lord? Amen. We just trust God. I remember when I first got to the ministry, I was 20 years of age. And I was like forced into the ministry. I never thought I would be a minister. Because I had a problem with my tongue. I was always stammering, you know. And if my brothers want to have a nice laugh, They bring me in front of them. And there were six brothers just for me to talk. And to make a sentence, oh, they would laugh. They would just roll on the floor. Therefore, when I felt the call, it was something happening to me. I said, Lord, what would I preach? I won't be able to talk to the people. And then he gave me that scripture, without me, you can do nothing. Amen. And I preach, can we be independent in God? Therefore, from that time on, I knew that whenever I come to the pulpit, I need him. Amen. And we are all a needy people. Amen. We need him. But before I get into the word, I'm going to continue the same thought that is the worth of a prophet when God speaks. But I take a title this morning, there is safety in the vision. But if you stay till the end, you will know where I got the message. Therefore you need to stay till the end. That's where you will see where I got the title of this message. There is safety in the vision. But before I do that, because we are celebrating springtime, resurrection. We are here for, it's the Lord's Day. Huh? I want to sing a song for you. That I sang a long time ago, but some brothers told me, you know, I was trying, Brother Lubanda, thank you for the coat. Huh? I was trying it, I saw myself like like David in Saul's armor, you know. It was fitting me right now, good, you know, but my hands were not seen, you know. I'm afraid you'll see a ghost in the church here tomorrow morning. I said, no, let me put it there. But thank you very much, I appreciate it. Wow. I've stopped playing guitar for quite a while, but I'm trying, you know. My hands have got quite tough on guitar. You know. Hallelujah, he's an answering God. Hallelujah. He's an answering God. When I pray in Jesus' name, then by faith the answer came. Hallelujah, he's an answering God. I believe in that. He's a God who answers prayer.
Amen.
I was sick for many years, I told you yesterday, and God healed me. And I've seen him answer many prayers. A song that I sang, it was in 1979, quite some time ago, you know, and which I told to many churches when I go abroad. Even in Zimbabwe, I told them to the church of Brother Chesa, and they still sing it today, you know. Hallelujah, he's an answering God. Hallelujah, he's an answering God. When I pray in Jesus' name, and by faith the answer came. Hallelujah, he's an answering God. I try to put it in French, but the words maybe not that like they are in English. They don't rhyme, but anyway, I'll try to sing it. Hallelujah, c'est un Dieu qui répond. Hallelujah. C'est un Dieu qui répond. Quand je prie au nom de Jésus, par la foi, la réponse vient. Alléluia, c'est un Dieu qui répond. Let's stand together now before we preach. I pray. Let's sing it in English, but with faith. Because I believe everyone here this morning, you got a need. You've been praying about an issue, and you're waiting for an answer. And our God is a miracle-working God. Hallelujah, he's an answering God. Hallelujah, he's an answering God. When I pray in Jesus' name, and by faith, the answer came. Hallelujah, he's an answering God. Hallelujah, he's an answering God.
Hallelujah, He's an answering God. When I pray in Jesus' name, then by faith the answer came. Hallelujah, He's an answering God.
Thank you, Lord. We appreciate you this morning. We are here at our post of duty, Lord. Not only a duty, but it's a love affair. That's what brought us here, Lord. There's no better place for a Christian to be. Your prophet would say the pleasure of a Christian is the presence of God. And you have an appointment with us this morning. And you are God who keeps His appointment. We thank you. We've got blessings in store.
Amen.
I believe we're not going to get out of here the same, Lord.
Amen.
Your prophet would say, it changes a man when God speaks to him.
Amen.
We believe that you're going to do some work in our lives. You know the needs of the people. Only you can satisfy those needs. We know, like your prophet said, we are on a journey.
Amen.
From the dust to the stars.
Amen.
From the grounds to the skies. He said He gave to Noah the commandment to build an ark.
Amen.
He said that ark was the message.
Amen.
To bring us from the grounds to the skies.
Amen.
The cloud had to come.
Amen.
The rain had to fall. For the ark to raise from the earth level. And the cloud came. And the rain, the latter rain, the former rain came. To lift up us from this earth, Lord. We appreciate what you have given us in this time. We love the prophet. We love the man that you sent. A man sent from God. But it was your system. It was the way, the only way that you found that was the right way, Lord, to bring us your word. You came near us. You became our kinsman redeemer.
Amen.
We appreciate you for all that you've done for us. Thank you for this church, Father. I came here with one aim, is to renew my friendship with that brother who is here, Lord. He has been so good to us when we came in 2007 and 8. And of course, Lord, I've come to put my shoulder. We have not come with any new doctrine. Your prophet would say in that message, presuming, he said that sometimes we need to stretch the blanket and cover the past also because of his toils, of the heartaches, of what he has to bear as burdens. We are here for that purpose. Bless this little church. Bless every office bearer here, every deacon, every trustee, everyone involved in whatever measure to bring the church, Lord, to the standard that you want. Bless each and every one. You know if there is any new people this morning and you know their needs, talk to them. Get me out of the way. That's the true gift of God, is to be able to get out of the way and to let you take over. We appreciate you this morning. In the powerful name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. As you are standing, let's read the Bible. Proverbs chapter 29, verse 18. We'll take that little subject this morning. There is safety in the vision. I need to look at the clock. What I did when I was in Holland, I was preaching there, I put the timer on my phone. I said, one and a half hour. And I said, okay, stop. It was for me. Now this stop. I won't put any timer. I will look there. And see, but I believe the word of the hour, you cannot put a period with it.
Amen.
When you preach, you have to put a comma and say, okay, we'll continue next time.
Yes.
That's what I'm going to do this morning and tomorrow and tonight. We'll put a comma after the first service. We'll go in the second one like that. Okay, let's read the scripture. Proverbs chapter 29, verse 18. What I'm going to preach is not new to you. We're going to read the quotes of the prophet. But sometimes we take things from another angle, no?
Yes.
But we are preaching the same thing.
Amen.
I'm bringing is still the worth of a prophet, the worth of a word of the prophet. Like Peter would say, when he went to the mountain, he heard the voice of God. And I believe that that prophet was the voice of God to this generation. And but of course, the devil, he liked to bring people to extremes. They made him God. I don't believe that. Our God is the Lord Jesus Christ. That was the supreme, that was the greatest revelation that the prophet brought, the supreme deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. Proverbs 29, verse 18. Where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. May God bless the reading of the word. You may be seated. But I'll tell you again, if you stay till the end, then you will know where I got that little safety in the vision. It's going to be this little story. You know those stories by the prophet? They are not stories. They contain deep things. Even before he preaches, sometimes he says little things, you know, here and there. And those things are valuable. You can have sermons in those things. He's telling things really, really deep. I believe that. While I was reading the quote yesterday about... I was reading a quote, you know, in the conflict between God and Satan. I left out something which was very interesting. I wanted to read to you. Because I was reading where Satan had set up a system in the Garden of Eden. And where that system was to reason against God's word, against the word that comes to the prophets. And the second time, you say they were combating the word of God that comes to the prophets. And then look at, in the same message, look how the prophet put something that very interesting. I like it. He showed that in the time of Noah, how it was there, those men somehow, they said, they came to a conclusion when they saw the door was closed. They said, maybe that man was right. Therefore, they came around the door. They stood there. They stood there. They were watching. Said Noah went in. He followed the will of God. God shut the door behind him. But it never rained for 7 more days. Wonder what Noah thought all that time in there. You know, sometimes when God remains silent, don't you worry. He's doing something in that silence. I think great things happen in silence. Huh? Great things are happening while he's silent. You have just to trust him all the time. He said, he thought just any time, children, you will hear it. Now, as a father, he's trying to tranquilize the heart of his children. That's what we want to do this morning, to come here and just tell you, don't worry. Maybe you don't see great things happening. But don't worry, God is working. Huh? Just any time, children, you will hear it. We'll pull the door, the lid up here on top. There was up on the top floor, you know, the animals on the bottom, the birds in the next, and there was on top. I like it. God placed men on a higher level. Huh? And that sun, oh, in the morning there'll be something over there, a darkening, the rain will come. But the next morning, up come the sun. Maybe some people that kind of halfway believed Noah might have went up there and stood around the ark and said, you know what, that old man might have been right. We better stand here. Then when they stood there, the rain didn't come. Well, then they say, they seen a mistake. And Brother Branham to add, God's prophets make no mistake. Amen. That's the word I like. God's prophet make no mistake. God's word cannot fail. Amen. Do you believe that? And also, I want to encourage you in that sense that in that word of God, that message of the hour, was not sent for the people outside there. Amen. You must understand this. Amen. It is sent only to predestinated people. The sun will never quicken any rock. Amen. It will quicken a seed. Yes. Therefore, you don't have to worry whether you're giving out the leaflets, you're giving out flyers, whatever you're doing to try to get. It's good. You must not stop throwing the net. But yet you must understand, you don't have to frustrate yourself, that God only deals with those predestinated seed. The bottom line at the end of the day is predestination. I could never believe in that. But yet Christ There are so many. Somebody told me that they tried to come. I don't know who told me that. That they saw that the predestination, when you take the message, it's one issue that the prophet talked more about. Amen. In every kind of principle doctrine, it was predestination. Amen. Do you believe that? Amen. Even Christ told them, I think in Matthew chapter 15 somewhere, he said, all plants that my father didn't plant will be uprooted.
Amen.
Therefore, you must accept that the message of the hour is sent only to those who are of the same caliber of the prophet. I read it, that be certain of God, paragraph 30, preacher 25th, January 59. He said, now that this little woman must have been of the same of the caliber of Elijah.
Amen.
Therefore, God sent Elijah to a woman of the same caliber as him.
Amen.
Because nobody else would have been able to receive the word of God, to obey the voice of that prophet.
Amen.
Because just think about it, a woman. Skinny, she has become skinny, not having food.
Yeah.
Listen well. She's coming out at a certain point in the morning. I'm just telling what the prophet is saying.
Yeah.
Playing like a drama. He said, all the night the son inside the house was weeping, was suffering, wanted some food. He said, mother, get me some food. And the mother was trying to appease him. He said, no, sonny, just wait for the morning. I'll go out and get some wood and cook, because we got only some little oil left, some flour left, only the last cake. But wait, but no. He said the whole night that boy was just crying. Look how God works on both ways. There on the mountain, God was getting that his men, the men of God, to move from the brook of Kerith. And let me tell you, God don't need to have the same way every time.
Amen.
He's a God of diversity.
Amen.
He was feeding the prophet there by the brook. Then he came and said, no, now you leave that brook and go down.
Amen.
I'm all day ordered a widow now to feed you.
Amen.
And that's very strange, eh? To order a widow. A widow,
amen.
Even the word widow, a woman who has no man to provide for her needs.
Amen.
And look how God does things in a way that goes beyond our mind. Why won't God send him to the palace of the king there, where there is plenty of food? Why would he send him there to a woman who herself was fighting there, was having a fight to have some food? Because God, irrespective of circumstances, he can provide for your needs. Do you believe that? God is not restricted by circumstances. God is not restricted by economy. I don't care how the economy is going down or up. God has placed us in another economy. The bride lives in another economy. Do you believe that? When the world is going to hunger for more food, God is going to provide for you. And if Elijah wanted to go back to that brook, he would not have been fed there. That brook was finished. It was another move now. It was to move on to another level of things. Therefore, he came down the mountain. I don't see where the Bible says God gave him the address. He said, only I've ordained a widow to feed you there. And he's coming down the mountain. And there that lady, all the night long, staying awake to try to tranquilize the child. And now she's coming up. She was coming out in the morning. She was opening the door. Look how God times things perfectly. It was a divine appointment. While he was coming by the door flung open. A little woman was coming out to gather some sticks, two sticks, to go and cook that food. And God sent that man right there. A divine appointment. I believe when David went on the battlefield there, he was a man who plays harp. His father sent him to bring some food for his brothers on the battlefield. I don't think he went straight there. Maybe on the way, he stopped by a tree. He sat down by the tree and he took his harp, you know, and played a song. And then he went somewhere else, you know, while he was walking through a brook of water. He stopped by the brook and drank some water.
Or sometimes he just stopped and then he saw the rays of the sun. He was happy. He was crying, weeping. Then the moment he stepped on the battlefield, Goliath was coming out. And that man didn't come out every day, every hour of the day. It was a specific time he was coming out to challenge the people of God. Give me a man. But that very moment that David just stepped on the battlefield, that guy was coming up. It was a divine appointment. Do you believe that? The woman at the well of Sychar, she was there by divine appointment. Eliezer, when he went by the brook there, by that well there, it was a divine appointment. Him with Rebecca. And this morning, I'm telling you, it's a divine appointment. You are not here by accident, by chance. God brought you here. Not to listen to me, but to the word of God. A divine appointment. Because something is going to happen to you. A divine appointment. The way he came down, I saw. Now, look at that woman might have turned around and said, amen. Oh, look. You're a man. I'm a woman. You see, I'm a widow. Instead of you providing for me, now you've come to ask me for things. She could have resisted, but now that woman, Brother said, she has been of the caliber of Elijah. He said, because usually your action shows who you are. Amen. Therefore, the fact that she was responsive to the voice of the prophet, she was made for that. Amen. Let those who have an ear listen to what the Spirit has to tell the church. That woman of the church, she had the ear to listen to what the Holy Ghost had to tell her. She didn't fast, she didn't retaliate, she didn't rebel, but she was of the caliber of Elijah. That's why she loves that voice. That's why today you will see all those things happening. Don't worry. You are the bride, you are that widow, made of the caliber of Elijah, ready to listen to the word of that prophet in the midst of all the unbelief, in the midst of all what they are scattering around. But you are the caliber of Elijah, ready to hear what he's going to say. And again, she had been chosen to entertain God's prophet. Amen. Brother, look at that privilege. That's what I'm talking, not at the other. I'm talking to you this morning. You have been chosen to entertain God's prophet. God sent Elijah on earth. He knew that on earth there will be a people that will entertain him. There will be a people that won't be ashamed to put those tapes. There'll be a people not be ashamed on their pulpit to read those quotes to the people. Because we have been we can entertain that prophet. Remember, she was a Gentile. You know, my brother is putting the right picture now. Remember, he's showing us a bigger picture of the thing. She was a Gentile, not a Jew. Stressing on that to show that it was she represented the Gentile bride. She was a Gentile, not a Jew. And the land was burning up. He was showing the condition of the land there. And that's the same thing happening here today. The land is burning up. With legalization of the sodomites now, the land is burning up. Hell is on earth. Not only hell, I mean the terms of spiritual terms, but even the heat now. The way the system, the climate system has changed. And the land is burning up. And today every country now, sin is on the rampage. The land is burning up. Children are going astray. Religion is finished. The foundation has been swept beneath them. The land is burning up. And no doubt that this little woman, being of that caliber, repeat itself, being of that caliber, being of the believer type, for we see that God would not have called to her. Today, if you have been called by God to this message, because you are the caliber of Elijah, the caliber of that prophet who can listen to the word of God. Whether you understand it or not, that doesn't matter. He's only believer on it, only, and he will do the works that he has done. She couldn't understand why that man, maybe with a beard, with dust over the face, over the hair, a beard hanging, with a stick, with a clothes. If she had to stand and then examine and try to reason out things, she would never have had something. He said, for we see that God would not have called to her if she hadn't have been a worthy one to entertain God's prophet. Therefore, God had to call her. It was God's choosing now. Now, he said, for he would never have sent his prophet. to a house that was unworthy. Therefore, today, if God sent us a prophet because he sees us worthy, we can entertain this prophet. We shall be able to hear the voice of that prophet. That's why he could send his sentiment. Therefore, for those people outside who would not obey, who's trying to find fault with this message, that message was not sent for them. Amen. Therefore, you don't have to worry about that. You just stay in line with the word of God that has been sent for this hour to you. Do you believe that? He would never have sent his prophet to a house that was unworthy. It was not his choosing. Now, it was not Elijah there on the mount. If it was left to him, he would have stayed by the brook. Because he was sitting there, he was getting sandwich every morning and every afternoon. Remember I'm saying, you say sandwich? Yes, yeah. The raven was bringing bread and meat. What is bread and meat? Meat between the bread. It was a sandwich. He said it was a sandwich. I like the prophet. And you know, the raven, they like meat. I don't know what God told to the raven. He said, you don't eat that meat. That's for my man. That's for my prophet. I know you got, you're hungry, but that's not for you. That's his share over there. And he had to obey that voice of God. Even a raven had to obey the command of God. He couldn't eat the bread. And he brought it to the, and then, therefore, it was the choosing of Elijah. If you read the message, he said, if it was me, I would have been a trapper. I would have been a hunter. I would have gone and lived in the forest over there. But it wasn't his choosing. It was God's choosing. Therefore, what I'm trying to say, if somebody now refuses to hear that word of God from that prophet, he's refusing the choice of God. And the choice of God is the best choice. The choice of God is the best choice. Do you believe that? Therefore, it wasn't his choosing. It was God's choosing. It wasn't her beating him. It wasn't the woman who asked to send Elijah to him. Her. It wasn't her beating him. It was God beating him. Nobody here prayed that God would send Elijah. Amen. Nobody prayed that God would send a prophet to restore the word in the end time. It was God who already found the need of the hour and he said by a prophet, behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet. Amen. It wasn't the beating of the prophet, neither the beating of the bread. It was God's choosing to send a prophet. That's why we learn that word of the hour. We learn that word. He had been placed by the brook. The ravens were feeding him. But it was God's command for something to take place. And God surely, it was Elijah who was going. But look what he says. Never read the message at the newspaper. Don't read it casually. Because between those lines, the little words he's using, they are deep. He said, but it was God's command for something to take place. And God surely went to a believer. Not Elijah who went. Do you believe that? Amen. Today it's not William Branham that we're raising. It's God who came to us. Amen. God surely went to a believer. Because what? He was going with the word of God. His mouth was full with the word of God for the hour. Because the hour the woman was living there, an hour of famine. And God was sending a man with the word of the hour to address the situation of the hour. That's why he said, in the voice of God in the last days or in end time evangelism, he said, the message of the hour will meet the time we are living in. The end time message will meet the end time conditions. Therefore, it should be the voice of God that went to that believer. Because God knew the believer being of the same caliber because we came from God. We have the same nature as God. If God is a believer, I am a believer also. Do you believe that? God surely went to a believer of the same nature of Elijah. Oh, I like that word. See, that stick was a cross. Listen to what I'm going to tell you. Two sticks, the Bible said. The voice said, go through the yard and get two sticks. The same time up on the mountain, there's a voice thundered down to the prophet. I like that. He heard the thunders. And he came down, not with thunder then. He came down with a clear voice. He got the thunders in the mountain. He got the thunders in the mountain there. The voice thundered up on the mountain. But when he came to the woman, the thunders were revealed to the woman. Do you believe that? So clear. And yet people are fighting for things that are so clear. Hidden in very clear terms, in those little stories. He said, now, go in the city. I have commanded. Oh my, both of them obeyed. Something has to happen. Both of them obeyed. Something has to happen. Both of them are obeying. Look at the condition now. For God to bless someone. That's why Ananias heard the word of God to go and lay hands on Paul. But Paul also had the word of God. God was working on both ends at the same time. He worked with Cornelius while he was praying. He sent two men to Joppa. And there God was working with Peter on the rooftop. Therefore it was God working on the both sides. Do you believe that? And he said, if the preacher preaches the word. Listen carefully. If the preacher preaches the word and the man that receives it believes it and acts upon it, something's got to happen. When a man preaches the word and you receive it and you act upon it, something has got to happen. Do you believe that? I don't care what is your condition. I don't care what you have been praying for. But if you believe the word of God, what's being preached, and you act on it, something has got to happen. If you're a sinner, you'll have to be saved. If you're sick, you'll have to be healed, because God promised it. If we are certain of God. What a wonderful word. What a wonderful message we've had. If you look in Jezebel's religion, he said, that woman, you know why she listened to the prophet? I never saw that from that standpoint. That woman had a husband, well, she's a widow. Yeah. Said that husband was bringing her to the schools of theology. He said the husband represented the seminars, the schools of, read, Jezebel religion. He said, but God killed that man. God killed her head. God removed her head for her not to reason. Because in the Garden of Eden, there was a deal between God and Satan. He told Satan, okay, let's make a deal. You take the head of man, I'll take the heart. Satan agreed to that. Lean not upon your own understanding. For God had to kill the head. He said, when God removed the husband out of the way, he said she was now ready to listen to the word of the prophet. Yeah. That's when people are ready to listen to the word of God for this hour. When we can get rid of our minds, our reasoning. Just don't try to reason out things. Because my man said, how can you explain? He said, God, a paradox. How can you explain a black cow eating green grass and giving white milk? And you get yellow butter with that. That's what he said in the fifth seal. A black cow eating green grass, giving white milk, and then you get yellow butter. You can't explain that thing, but yet you believe it. It's right in front of you. Because there are many things like that. How can you explain that world is hanging where? What is the foundation for this earth? Nobody can. He asks Job, where is that foundation? Yet you believe it. Therefore, there are things that you can't explain, but you believe. But with God, the moment you believe, He explains to you. Amen. He will come with explanation afterwards. But the first thing is just believe. Do you believe that? Amen. I like my God. He is a God this morning. Let me be free this morning. I'm leaving my doubts. He is a God. Let me talk to you, because I felt me somebody needs something. If God never did a thing for the first time, it was never done, God can do it for the first time. Amen. The Red Sea, nobody opened the Red Sea. Never been done, but God did it for the first time. Nobody walked on water, but God did it for the first time. Therefore, whatever the situation, even if the doctor finds out that your case There has been never been a healing like that before. God can do it for you for the first time. Now, the God who can do it for the first time, he can do it a second time. In the message, first, at the very beginning, he was in true Joshin. Then he said, Brother Blair, you're listening to me, you're hooked on the line there. Brother Blair, don't forget. But forget that the God who did it for the first time for you, he can do it a second time. The God who did the first time, he multiplied the bread. He did it the second time. Yes or no? The God who stilled the water for the first time, he did it a second time. Therefore, my God can do it for the first time. He can do it a second time. And he can do it a third time also. The God who opened the Jordan by Joshua. He opened the Jordan by Elijah. And then he opened the Jordan a third time by Elisha. Therefore, God, what I'm trying to say, God is not restricted by any circumstances, by any conditions. He can go above, exceedingly above what you might think or even ask. Ephesians 3:20. God is not restricted by no circumstances. You must let me show that to you. If you can see it from here, that would be nice. I'll try. Yeah? But don't answer everybody at the same time. I'll try something. I like that. When I found that, I was happy. Look at that. Maybe you won't see that picture. If you have internet here, you could have maybe got that picture. But I'm trying. Yeah? You know, that's an old laptop. I took it from my wife. I don't think you are clearly there. Can anybody tell me what's that picture? Yes. Someone tell me. Bird. A bird.
It's a rabbit.
It's a rabbit.
Yeah.
A duck. You're right, sister. That's what was Dr. Kuhn. I think it was in 1962 the doctor realized something. That man has got potential inside of them. But they never kind of tap those resources inside. He said that with the same elements of information, there is hidden another image of the thing. Therefore, while people are saying, it's a duck, but as I said, no, it's a rabbit. I haven't changed nothing there. It's a duck with a beak over there, but it's a rabbit with the ears. So the same elements of information was hiding two images. But sometimes people just got stuck with the image of the duck. They can't get beyond the duck image. That's why Kuhn now, he was trying to show that, he called it a paradigm shift. That is, you just obeyed a certain way of thinking over the years. The devil has told you, you are nothing but you don't worth anything. You are a sinner saved by grace. You won't be able to make it to heaven. Life is too hard now. The economy here in Ireland and all those stuff is kind of brooding and breeding you with those things. And you just see that image. And Kuhn was trying to say, no. You can go over that. And the prophet, I think somewhere, he gave it in a way. He said, it's very easy for people to build a straight wall. When it comes time to make a corner, that's difficult. To turn the corner. He said, Kuhn said that the paradigm means an established thought process. It's established in your mind. It's a thought process that has been handed over maybe by ancestors to you. Pattern, model, a template. Therefore, think of a paradigm shift as a change from the way of thinking to another. Think of a paradigm shift as a way of changing your thinking. You don't think like that anymore. It's a revolution. It's a transformation. A sort of metamorphosis. It just doesn't happen like that, but rather it is driven by agents of change. That's why in the message, the guide, he talks about the death walk. You know what he said? He was just going around. He was seeing the same. Leave it alone, brother. He was seeing the same picture. He hung a deer somewhere and he was lost in the forest. And while he was looking now for the way, he came right back to the picture of the deer hanging. Then he moved again, he moved around, and then he came back, right back into the image of the deer. Finally he said, you know what I was on? The Indians call it the death walk. See, you are walking in a circle, round and around. When I thought I was too good a guy to ever be lost, you know? What's the point? Brother, you can leave it, remove it. What I was trying to put to you, don't get hooked up. Get the same elements of information, but there is another dimension for you. Amen. There's another level. Amen. Leave that established thought process. There can be a paradigm shift in your life this morning. Let me give you an example of the Bible. Peter, he was in the boat. There was a big storm. And he knew as an expert fisherman. He has been facing so many storms before. And he knew the safest place to be in a storm on sea. Just remain in the ship. Look at that in Acts 27 when Paul would tell them, don't get out of the ship. Stay there in the ship. That's the safest place in the storm. Stay there. Lighten the ship. Lighten the ship. Get the things out of your life. Get those heavy burdens out of your life. Get those things out of your life. Get rid of those things that are retaining you. Just lighten the ship. Lighten the ship. But stay in the ship. Now while Peter, one moment he was staying, they said, hey, my friends, don't go out. Stay there. That's the safest place to be. While he was sitting, it's a paradigm, an established thought process. That's how he knew how to get out of danger when there's a storm. Now, while he was just telling them, stay in the boat, he saw somebody walking in the sea. Then he discovered that instead of me be confined in a boat of possibilities, I can go over that boat and walk on the sea. Then it was a paradigm shift. It was a shift in his mind. You don't have to stay in the boat. You don't have to be confined, restricted. There is more that God has for you. Do you believe that? That you need to have a mind change. That's why the word of the hour has been given to us. Be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. While your mind is being renewed and you're ejecting all those thought processes that have been keeping you down, now you are going up into higher levels with God. Do you believe that? Paradigm shift. Get all those thought processes out of your mind. There is more for you in that message. Can I continue? I'm not yet started. We will start with our scripture right now. Just in a second. That's why I asked you in the beginning, be patient. Let me read that for you. I was shocked when I read that quote. And while I'm reading, if the brother can put it, it would be nice. If you have the message of the hour there, that's what I do in my church. While the preaching, I put it quick. But anyway, don't worry. Yeah? In the message, works is faith expressed. What I'm trying to do this morning, I'm trying to bring tidbits for you. Little pieces here and there to help you. Because what you're going through here, we are going through the same thing there. You know, to come here, the trouble I had to have a visa. Brother, I told my people I've never gone through so much processes to get a visa to come here. I told you yesterday I sent a letter to withdraw because it was taking too much time. But you know, the devil don't need visa to cross over the borders. Mm. For the same devil there, the same devil over here. That's why I believe the same preaching here can be also benefiting for you. Huh? Look now. Now watch. This was Abraham. He called anything contrary. And his body then dead. And Sarah's womb the same. Now he was an old man, 100 years old. Sarah was 90 years old. Now notice, the deadness of Sarah's womb, of the deadness of his body, was not even brought under consideration. Take that word now. Consideration. You know what is consideration? You sit down, you begin to meditate. Sometimes you get a thought and then you let it go. But this one, you sit down and you see, my mother died like that. My brother had the same problem and he never got out of it, you know. Now you begin to consider. You begin to sit down and give time to that thought. Let it, like those four, what do you call it, the mammals, let it ruminate. From one bowel to other bowel, from the other bowel. You try to assimilate things, you know? You say, but what happened there was not even brought into consideration. Look what Brother Branham said. He said, when Brother Branham had blues, some blues, he was like depressed. He said, that's the scripture he goes to. Romans 4, where he said, not being weak in faith. He said, oh, every time I go to feeling a little blue, every time I go to feeling a little blue, here the chapter I turn to, Romans 4. Look at the prophet now. Why? Because there is that expression. Being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body. The second time. Now he said, at 100 years old, look, his body now dead, this his manhood, and Sarah's womb dead. It wasn't even considered. Third time. When it's revealed to him that bed is not considered. Four times. You are a paralytic or whatever you are, that isn't considered. The wheelchair is not under consideration. The little boy may be paralyzed, whatever it is, I don't know. It is not under consideration. Don't even consider it. But the doctor said he'll never get out of here. The doctor said she'll never come. That's not even considered. Well, look, I'm an old person. I'm getting middle age. I don't even consider it. Look at how many times, right? And we are the children of Abraham. Hallelujah! Not that as Isaac was, but his royal seed through Jesus Christ by the faith that he had. Abraham's seed coming forth. In the last days. The last days to shine like the stars. Abraham's children considered not his own body now dead. Neither even considered it. It wasn't even brought into question whether God would do it or not. He said, when it's revealed to you, something you can't make it happen. It's got to be revealed to you. Then you don't even consider anything. How impossible. Look how many times. For a man of God to stress, to lay emphasis, is going to show us a principle. If you want to achieve something, if you want to get to something in your spiritual life, don't even consider. He said, when it's revealed to you, you can't make it happen. It's got to be revealed to you, then you don't even consider anything. How impossible it is. Don't consider what the doctor said. You don't consider what mama said, what papa said, what the preacher said, what anybody else said. You just consider what God said. He continues. He considered not his own body now dead, neither the death of Sarah's womb. It wasn't even thought, brought under consideration. Oh my, that just shakes me. Body dead. No, the deadness of Sarah's womb, not even brought under consideration. No circumstance, it's continuing. No circumstance will be considered when faith finds its bedding ground. When a germ gene from a man finds the egg in a woman and both of them fertile, something's got to happen. The doctor can say you'll not have a baby. I can prove you your genes are dead in your body and her eggs will never be fertile, but let that fertile egg, let that germ twist itself to that egg one time. Watch what happens. Amen. Do you believe that?
Amen.
You don't consider those things. Let's get to our message. Pastor Gerd, when I was in Holland, he told me I have got a bell with me. When it's time to stop, I'm going to ring that bell. I don't believe Brother Andrew has a bell. But just stay with me. I'm going now to go quick. Because I don't want to keep you long. But I need to read those quotes to bring that message to you now. There is safety in the vision. There's safety in staying with the word of this hour. Outside of this, you're lost. That's why the Bible, if you ever read the Bible, those scriptures were visions.
You should read Isaiah, the vision of Isaiah. What was written there of visions.
Amen.
Even Brother Branham said the ministry of Jesus Christ was based on visions.
Amen.
John 5:19, he said, I can do nothing but what the Father shows me first. Therefore, his ministry was based, even if he couldn't go and raise Lazarus. Even he got the news that your good friend is dying, come. He wouldn't go. Because he had to wait for the vision.
Amen.
His ministry was on a vision. Now, look, Isaiah, the vision of Isaiah, the son of Amos, which he saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. Vision. Ezekiel 1:1. Now it came to pass in the 13th year, in the 4th month, the 50th of the month, I was among the captives by the river Chebar, that the heavens were opened and I saw visions of God. Therefore, Ezekiel was writing vision. Amos 1:1. The word of Amos, who was among the herdsmen of Tekoa, which he saw concerning Israel in the days of Uzziah the king. Obadiah 1:1. The vision of Obadiah. Thus saith the Lord concerning Edom. We have heard a rumor from the Lord. An ambassador is sent among the heathen. Arise ye and let us rise up against the battle. It was the vision of Obadiah. Micah 1:1. The word of the Lord that came to Micah, the Moreshite, in the days of Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah, which he saw concerning Samaria and Jerusalem. Nahum 1:1. The burden of Nineveh. The book of the vision of Nahum the Elkoshite. Vision. Habakkuk 1:1. The burden which Habakkuk the prophet did see. I will stand upon my watch. Now listen, now I'm going quick. Huh? I will stand upon my watch and set me upon the tower and will watch to see what he will say unto me and what I shall answer when I'm reproved. And the Lord answered me and said, write the vision. Write the vision and make it plain upon tables that he may run that readeth it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak.
Amen.
And not lie. Not lie. The vision will speak, not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it. Because it will surely come. It will not tarry. That's why let's go quick in the Bible. Mark chapter 14. I'm going to read four scriptures, then get into the final of my message. We read Mark 14. I want to show you that the Bible is full of visions. And the disciple had to trust the vision. And there is safety there. Think about those disciples. Jesus Christ sent them. Maybe I won't read it to spare time. He sent them. They asked him, Master, where will you that we prepare the Passover? He said, you know what? You go into the city. You will see a man. Now, he was seeing a vision. Now, to send disciples to go and knock on the door of a master, of a man who has a storage building, and said, my master tells you to where will he? Yeah, what is the master? I'm the master here. Get out of the way, you know. To have that kind of a courage, audacity, to go and do what Christ said. He had a vision, and there is safety in the vision. So you go on the road, you see a man carrying a pitcher. And in those days, read the message there. In those days, women were carrying pitcher. It was women who go to the, read the story of Rebecca, of the woman at the well of Sychar. It was women who used to go to the fountain. But he's telling them, go, you see a man. They might say, that guy, is this the vision he had? A man carrying a pitcher, he's a homo. They could have reasoned something out. But they shift in the vision.
Amen.
He then knew that what the master says, you've got the words of eternal life. To whom shall we go?
Amen.
They knew that. Therefore, they went out and they saw that man. They followed the man. They came to. He said, you will see there. You ask the master, where will the master prepare? He said, he will show you upstairs. In the vision, he's seeing upstairs. And then he will show you a furnished room. He even saw the furniture in the room.
Amen.
He can even see the TV you'll be hiding somewhere. He saw the pieces of furniture in the houses. Look how his eyes can go on the sparrow, on the minute details of things. And this morning, let me tell you, because he's here, he sees everything.
Even he can go to the mind and see what you're thinking about. Now, and the Bible said, let me read to you, 14:14, he said, they found it as he told them. Look, he said, it was the verse 12 and verse 15, and he will show you a large upper room furnished and prepared. There, make ready for us. And his disciples went forth and came into the city and found as he had said unto them. Therefore, they found the vision exactly. Amen. The details he gave was exact. Amen. You believe that? Amen. I won't have time to read. You read yourself in Mark 16. The two women who went to the women who went to the tomb. Yeah. They said, who will roll the stones? Yeah. They were in trouble. I like that also. Amen. Those two women were asking who will, because they were women, weaker vessels. How would they roll a big stone? There was a problem with there. They were talking amongst them. Yeah. Who will roll over the stone? And God was already on the move. Amen. When they reached there, they found the stone already wrong. Amen. God sent from heaven help. Amen. To help those women. Amen. To roll the stone for them. But what I like also, while God came down to roll the stone for those women through the angels, yet he asks Martha and Mary to roll the stone. You know why, Brother Bram said, why? In the message, Wisdom versus Faith. He said, God wants you to be a partner with him. What a privilege. He could have really just spoke to that rock and, dissolved that rock. He could have done it. But yet he said, you roll the stone. Because I want you to be my partners. Let's work together. And he's a very good partner. Yes. He won't steal you at the end of the day. When it's time to give dividends, he won't give you 50%. Huh? It will take hold. Because I've got everything. You just take more than 100%. Hey. Hallelujah. What a mighty God we serve. They were one day, they went with spices. And yet, if they believe what Christ told them 3 days before, or a week before, he said, the priest, the high priest, will ill-treat me. They will beat me. I'll be put there. I'll be crucified. But yet, 3 days after, I'll come out. Amen. He was telling the vision. Not yet happened, but he was saying the vision. Amen. Because what? He looked to what David said there. You will never leave your Holy One to see corruption. He told, I think, Pilate, I have the power to give my life and to take it over. Therefore, he had a vision about it. And it was the word of God, which cannot fail. And those women didn't believe. They went there with spices, tried to embalm the body. Then the angel, the messenger there, said, come and see where they've laid him. He's no more there. Jesus Christ is no more in history. No, the prophet is pointing to us. He's out of history. Amen. He has lifted him out of history. Amen. He's no more in the tomb. Amen. He's there. Amen. He said, as he told you. Amen. As the vision already stated, that's what happened. Amen. Therefore, you can have safety if you believe in the vision. Amen. Luke 2, you read at home, from verse 8 to verse 20. When the angels came down there, to the shepherds. He said, you will go into Bethlehem. I'll take that tonight. Those men ran to Bethlehem. I will preach a bit of running to Bethlehem, the house of God's bread. He said, you run there. You will see a little boy, an infant in swaddling cloth. Before they went there, the Bible said, they saw it as he told them. Amen. Therefore, what prompted them to go? What put them on the move was a vision but it was given to them. That's why I can't believe people turning their back on that message. Amen. It's a living vision. Amen. For us to be able to live a life of victory here on earth. Amen. Amidst all the sodomites, we have victory. Amen. Now, let's read that one. Acts 27, I'm closing. Acts 27. That was a scripture that Brother Brown took to preach a sermon. It was the time now when Paul was on the sea. He told them, I told you not to lift the anchor. Because we would have avoided that barrier. You should have listened to me. That's what he says. I won't have time to read all the details. And that's what's happening to many people. To many young men. He said, under no circumstances should a Christian marry a non-Christian. Well, that's why the rules, many young lives are being ruined. And Paul was saying that, I told you, if you listened to me, if you stayed where you are, we would not have suffered the damage. And that's how many young people, many marriages, many homes are broken because they didn't hearken to the voice of the vision. Yes, sir. And he stood up in the boat and said, don't worry. He said they haven't eaten for 14 days. They were without food. The sun had eaten himself. It was the time of Laodicea. There was no sun. The rising of the sun was not yet. It was dark. There was no food. He said, and then suddenly there was tempest. The people tried to get out. He said, don't get out. Because according to the vision, only those who stay in the boat I will be saved. That's what the prophet saw in the vision. Stay in line. Don't get out of this message. Paul would say in Romans, in Hebrews, he said, we are not of those, 10:39, we are of those who drew away unto perdition. When people go away, it's not for life. Maybe for a couple of weeks or a couple of years, they think them prosper. But the devil will hit you somewhere. Therefore, he said, we don't draw back unto perdition. But we are of those who stay. We stay there. Told them, stay in the boat. No lies we do, but stay in the boat. Stay in the ship. Stay in the message. Then he said, an angel of God appeared to me last night. And he told me that. And it shall be according to what he told me. Amen. There was a vision. There was safety in the vision. Amen. Don't get out of the ship. Amen. You're going to die. But the vision told me, he said, the angel came and told me, it will be as I told you. Amen. No lives will be killed. Amen. Each one of you will be safe. Amen. Safety in the vision. Amen. How could Elijah on the mountain? How could he define, challenge 400 false prophets? And those guys, they're not playing jokes. They have been sent by Jezebel. They would kill him. But how can he defy? How can he challenge those guys? He said, because when he took the sacrifice, he said, Lord, I have done what you have commanded me. It was a vision. Therefore, he knew the fire had to fall. He knew those guys won't be able to kill him. There is safety in the vision I had. The Lord commanded me to do that. Whatever he's going to do, the fire will come. Do you believe that? Safety in the prophet, he went to Bombay. There were 17 religions there. The Jains, the Sikhs, the Hindus. And he told them, if God didn't heal that boy, chase me, hunt me out of Bombay. How can he make such a claim? How can he be so brave to try to defy those religious people who would kill you? Because why? He had a vision. He had a vision of that little boy. He prayed for him and he recovered the sight. There was safety in the vision. The boy who was raised in Finland, at that moment he was there, he saw that accident. He saw the boy lying there and he turned his back. Then a hand grabbed him. He turned again. And he looked. I don't know, remember the story quite well. Maybe he just offered resistance again and he went again. And the hand grabbed it again. And he looked at the boy. He looked at the sea. He said, oh, that's it. Nobody now will stop me. He said, Brother Jacmo, get the fly leaf of your Bible. It's written there. 4 years ago. Why could he do that? Because there is safety in the vision. If you remain the vision, that's where the safety lies. Amen. Do you believe that? Amen. Let me read Perseverance, paragraph 27. Preach 19th June. I'm closing, in 1 hour more. Perseverance, paragraph 27. When God tells something, I want you to listen carefully now. Tell something that's going to happen. Like the visions or something. I've seen tens of thousands of them. And many of you are a witness. And not one of them has ever failed. I've seen tens of thousands of visions, and not one of them has ever failed. And when God says anything, I don't. He stopped. Maybe you want to say, I don't care. I don't. If we would say tonight, go to the National Cemetery. For I'm going to raise up George Washington in the morning. I invite the whole world, come watch it. Amen. It's going to happen. Hey. No. Just think about that. George Washington. I don't know how many years he died. Maybe there is not a single bone, not a femur left there. Not a skull. Everything has been dried, has become sand. But he says, now if God show me a vision, I invite CNN.
Hallelujah.
I'll invite Fox News. I invite BBC to come with all the camera on the spot to watch. Because what God said, there is safety in the vision. I will not be put to shame because God has given the vision. Now he says, go to the National Cemetery. For I'm going to raise up George Washington in the morning. I invite the whole world, come watch it. It's going to happen. God's word can't fail. He has never failed. And he can't fail. There's one thing that God can't do, and that's fail. He cannot fail, and God is his word. There is safety in the vision. I've got many like that. I will leave it. Letting off the pressure. That's my advice to you before we close. He said, as a little rabbit, the story of the hounds were right behind him. The hounds of hell. Many like us, the hounds are after us every day. He said, he could feel their hot breath upon his feet, that rabbit. He's running, the hounds just behind him. Just a little while. Another jump or two, and the hound was going to get the little fellow. He would be gobbled up just in a moment. This is the story about us now, huh? The hounds of hell after us, trying to gobble us just a little while. But after a bit, he saw a hole in a rock. He saw a hole in a rock, and he thought, if I could only get to that rock, then I'm safe. Just as the dog made the last jump at him, he felt his hot breath on his heels. But he ran under the rock. And then he could sit down and let off the pressure. The hound could not scratch through that rock. The hound cannot get to that revelation, brother. Cannot get to that rock. Because the gates of hell cannot prevail against that rock. Once you are there, hidden under that rock of revelation for the word of the hour, there is safety there. And he said, Lord Jesus, I pray to thee this morning. Lord, that if some little creatures of yours that's wandered away from that safety zone, that's my sermon, safety in the vision. Wandered from the safety zone, they can feel the breath of the hounds of hell. Young women, young men, galloping right behind them, seeing their life breaking away to the other side. May they hurry this morning to this cleft in the rock. There is one, the righteous run into it and are safe. Grant it, Father, through Jesus thy Son. Now, that's where I got the message. I kept it at the end. Now, if you haven't listened that far, listen now. I'm going to really illustrate a story. That one, when I was listening, that thing hit me. A story about him going to hunt the caribou and the grizzly. Now, while I'm going to read the story, I don't want you to listen to the story. I want you to imagine in your mind a fight between faith and doubt. Greatest battle ever fought. He said, soldiers of faith now are arrayed. Soldiers of Satan also has anointed his people with doubt. Therefore, there is a fight right now. In this hour we are living with what they are putting up on the website. Those people who were formally in the message. It's a fight. Vision. It's a fight. While I'm reading the vision, I'm ending. I don't want you to see the story now. Because I thought it was wrong for me to try to give it that kind of a of a analogy, but I read it two other places. Then I knew it was God was giving me that thing, because he told the same thing in the message, wisdom versus faith.
Amen.
If you look the messages in 1962, go read the titles. Many of the messages of messages centered around battle, around fight.
Yes.
Because with the opening of the seals,
yeah,
the opening of a seal is a spiritual war.
Amen.
They were right now in 62 is preparing the people.
Yeah.
Greatest battle ever fought, wisdom versus faith, the conflict between God and Satan,
yeah,
putting the whole armor of God, the contest. All these messages came into 62 to prepare the people that there will be a great fight.
Amen.
Because what is going to release at the end time is going to receive much opposition. People will turn their backs. He will lose thousands of friends when those things are going to be revealed. But he had to stay faithful to the message.
Amen.
Now, he said, he got a vision about going to Alaska. Look now, I'm closing. I want you to listen carefully. He said, I was invited up there to this man to go hunting. He said, that brother Southwick, now he's talking to him. Now brother Southwick is a doubt. He's his good friend. He's going to walk with him all the way. And that doubt walks with you all the way. Every day that battle is right there. He's your friend inside that same body. He's there walking with you, looking at circumstances. He will talk to you. And that man tells him, brother, you told me we are going up to, you will kill the bear. He said, well, we are going up in a sheep country. Said, it won't be up there. Now he's telling the prophet, your vision is not right. Because you're going to a country where there is sheep. How can you get a caribou there? I said, now he's coming down. When he killed the caribou, I said, that's bound to be it. The only thing I'm wondering about is that checkered shirt, Brother Ed Biscoe. And I looked around, and Brother Eddie, his wife, must have put it. She was there with him, must have put it in the duffel bag. When he got wet the day before, he had changed shirts. And there was the checkered shirt. It was a vision. Listen to the prophet. One time he was so in a hurry. He was so zealous. He went and prayed for somebody, and the vision was not yet completed. He nearly killed that girl, the boy. And he had to stay there. I mean, maybe wait for 2 hours. He had to ask forgiveness to the daddy. Excuse me, I just ran before the vision. He had to wait. And then when he waited, then the old lady come by the door. Then that man put his hat over there. Then that thing was removed from there. Then he saw the vision. Then he know there is safety in the vision. I won't fail once more. It's going to happen anyhow. Now listen. Therefore, in the vision, he said, when I got over the caribou, bird said to me. Now bird, doubt, don't say bird. Doubt said to me. Doubt said to faith. Now, Brother Branham, you say these horns are 42 inches? I said, therefore, he said, I said, he said, and I said, you say it's going to be 42. I said, that's what they will be. He said, but look to me about 92. To me, I'm an expert in hunting. I'm an expert. I've got binoculars in my eyes. I can measure. I got tape measures in my eyes. Look to me. It's 92. He was trusting on his eyesight, on his 5 senses, not on the vision. Don't trust to the symptoms. Trust in the vision. By his stripes, you are healed. He said, look to me like about 92. I said, no, they are 42 inches. Faith now stresses the word. Faith said, no, the vision said 42. He said, now according to what? He won't stop talking to you. He might be your best friend in that same body. He talks to you all the night when you go to sleep. No, don't listen to him.
Amen.
He said, now according to what you told me, before we get back to that boy down there, with a checkered shirt, Eddie, you're going to kill a grizzly bear. I said, that's the saith the Lord. You know why he was saying that? Because where they were very near the timber where the forest begins. And where they, and he had to have that grizzly before they get into the timber. Now, when you go down, he says, there were small spruces, like little thickets. And now, it was maybe that high. Now, how can a grizzly of 9 feet come and he hide behind a thicket? Never. Therefore, he was looking, said, but you told me that before we get to the timber there, there's going to be a grizzly bear. He said, that's the say of the Lord. He said, Brother Branham, where is he coming from? He won't stop fighting. Where is he coming from? I can see 50 miles around. Now he has a larger perspective now. I can see 50 miles around. Where would he come from? I said, he's still Jehovah Jireh. He's still Jehovah Jireh. The Lord can provide for himself. He can make now he's quoting examples. That's where you can draw your faith sometime. Faith by experience. When you had experience before, you can say, it happened to me one time and God took me out of it. And the God who did it the first time can do it again. He said he can make squirrels come into existence. If he can make a ram come into existence. Remember that ram. The way he described that ram, it was impossible for a ram to be there. He said he was 3 days away from civilization. On the top of a mountain where there are wild animals. That ram would have been eaten. There was no water to provide for the food there. And then how did it come there? It was the creation of God. That's why he said, down God will provide himself a sacrifice. Do you believe that? And we are still serving the same God. Now he said, if I spoke about a bear can come into existence. Now he's confessing the power of a positive confession. He said, us trying to pack this heavy caribou, I'm closing, down the trophy, down the mountain, and I packed the rifle part of the time, and then he would pack the rifle, and vice versa. When we got almost to a big glacier, we got under there, it was kind of hot. We get in the glacier of ice and sit down there a while to cool off. He said, you know, Brother Branham, we are not over a mile. He talks again. He comes again. Like the bee, you know. He said, we're not over about a mile from where Eddie and Blaine, them two boys, be standing. That old bear better be showing up. That old bear better be showing up. I said, Bird, I believe you're doubting it. Now the prophet hits the bull's eyes. Zeroed in there. I believe you're doubting it. Now, you know, the devil don't give up very easily. Now he found an excuse. He said, no, Brother Branham. My brother had epileptic fits for so many years. And you told me once. And listen to that story. A prophet. We call him a scriptural prophet. Yeah. Huh? You believe that? Amen. Scriptural prophet. Amen. Then he had a vision. He told that man there on the mountain. He said, you know, the next time your brother has epileptic fit, you just grabbed his shirt, throw it in the fire, amen, that man will be delivered. Where did you find that in the scripture?
Amen.
That guy would have told him, is it some voodoo practice you're telling me? Do I need to learn voodoo? What is that to do with the scripture? I thought he would have told me, believe in his stripes, you got it. But he told me, this is contrary to my mind. But you don't have to reason things with the prophet. You just do obey the voice of the prophet. Do what he says, do. Therefore he went, and the voice said, Brother Branham, you did say that, but I can't doubt it, Brother Branham. I said, Bird, I don't know where the bear is coming from. That's what we need to know. You don't have to figure out how God is going to do the thing. Let him do the thing. You just have to believe, that's all. Now listen, I'm closing. He said, but I was about 50. I am 55 now. So that's been about 3 years ago. I was about 52 or 53. I said, I've never seen it fail. God will give me that grizzly bear before I get to them boys. Therefore, he was confessing before he came. That's why Moses said, those Egyptians which you saw there, you will see them no more. He was confessing it before it happens. David will say, I will cut your head to God. Before he cuts his head, I will cut your head and feed you to the fowls of the air. He was saying it before it happens. Don't wait for it to happen. Right now, begin to confess it. God will give me the grizzly bear before I get to them boys. And we was almost down to where the small spruce and timber started. You think that man, he said, brother, no, I don't doubt anymore. You talk to my about my brother. And we was almost down to where the small spruce and timber started. A little lower down the hill, we were almost into the timber. He sat down. He was the one that was packing the trophy then. I had the rifle and he said, that old bear better be showing up. He comes again. Hadn't he? I said, he'll be there.
Amen.
Don't you worry.
Amen.
He'll be there.
Amen.
But he said, I can see every hill. Coming again with his sight. I can see every hill. But I said, but I see the promise.
Amen.
You are seeing the hill, but I see the vision. I see the promise. That God who made me the promise cannot fail. But I see the promise. See, he promised. I said, ever what he said, but what is that sitting there right there? He looked and said, it's a big silver tip grizzly. Said, that's him. What we got, when we got the grizzly and come back, I remember in the vision I told you, I was scared about that rifle. It was a little bitty 0.270 small bullets. Therefore, what you have as resources, it's not that's going to do the miracle.
Amen.
It's not the rock in the sling of David that killed Goliath. Nah. It was the hands of faith.
Amen.
Do you believe that?
Amen.
It's not what you have as resources. We are nothing to begin with.
Amen.
But it's God in us.
Amen.
I'm closing. He said, that little bitty rifle, you see, it's on tape. And I got the bear, just about 500 yards, like it said, like the vision said. Huh? Now listen, I'm closing. It said, and Bert said, you better shoot that bear in the back. Now he's a guide, he's a hunter. You better shoot that bear in the back, he said. Did you ever shoot a grizzly bear before? I said, no. It was an answer like, no, I never. But he was kind of freaking. Have you ever killed a bear before? You must shoot in the back. He said, no. He said, you know what? They don't know what death is. I learned that a little later.
Amen.
You know, let me, one little thing. Albert Einstein, you know how he became a renowned person? I read that in a magazine. He was late for the exams. There were four questions. When he got to the room, he saw six on the table. Therefore, he did the four. And he was wrestling with the other two. And finally, he got the two also. Before he came out, the professor rushed to him. Said, what happened? He said, I put those two there because they have never been solved before by any mathematician. Then he said, because I didn't know that those can't be solved. Therefore, he tried and he solved them. He got all the potentials out because he was never aware that those two would never be solved.
Amen.
He said, I learned that a little bit later. So he said, they don't break up from shock. He said, you better shoot him. I said, according to the vision,
Amen.
I shot it in the heart.
Amen.
Don't tell me to shoot in the back. No. The vision told me I shot it in the heart. Then he said, oh, Brother Branham, well, if that vision said so, I'm going to stand by you.
Amen.
Because he knew the safety was there. If the vision says so, then I'll stay by your side. I'll take a stand by you now. Because you have the right vision. That's what we have to do in this time we are living. Amongst all those unbelievers, stand by the word of the hour.
Amen.
that's where the safety lies. Then I said, here we go. And we got a little closer. And when I raised up, the bear saw me. That was what he wanted, to make a charge. And I shot the bear. It didn't seem like it even hurt him. Here he comes. And before I could get another bullet in the gun, the bear died about 50 yards from him. Now listen, bird was white around the mouth. He said, Brother Branham, I didn't want him on my lap. I said, I didn't either. He said, I am glad the vision said you got him. Amen. That's why I got the title. I am glad the vision said you got him. Amen. And the same prophet who had that vision, he had the vision of a bride.
Amen.
Spotless bride without wrinkle. I don't care what the whole world say. There is a bride in the land. There is a bride in the land. Do you believe that? God bless you.
Let's stand, saints. The safety in the vision. Do you know the story about Brother Bud Southwick's brother? You know, the prophet, when he had that vision of the epilepsy and throwing the shirt in the fire, you go and see how the prophet says it. He says, go and tell him to sin no more.
Amen.
And you know, several years later, Bud Southwick's brother hadn't had epilepsy for years. He went back to the pub again, back to drinking again, and the epilepsy came back. Friends, you got to stay in the vision.
Amen.
There's safety in the vision.
Amen.
Devil's going to try to tempt you out, try to offer you this, that, and the other. But friends, there's safety in the vision.
Amen.
Stay right in the center of his will. That's his desire. Let's sing something about you.
Hallelujah.
He's an answering God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. He's an answering God.
He answers all my prayers.
Name, and by faith the answer came. Hallelujah, he's an answering God.
I prayed in the morning, I prayed at noon time, I prayed at the evening time. How we should pray all the time. Help me, Lord, to pray like Jesus. He prayed all the time. Hallelujah, he's an answering God. Oh, hallelujah, he's an answering God. Hallelujah,
hallelujah,
he's an answering God. He answers all my prayers.
Desires. That's where we are today, are we not? But he's an answering God. He's an answering God.
Amen.
He's so faithful. If you'll just believe, he's faithful.
Amen.
The vision will be tested.
Amen.
But though the vision tarry, wait for it.
Hallelujah.
It will speak.
Yes, sir.
In its season, it'll speak.
Amen.
Don't listen to Brother Bud too much. There's lots of Brother Buds around these days.
Amen.
Just keep focusing on the vision. Let's sing one more, Brother George, before we come to a time of prayer. I'm sure you desire to speak to the Lord.
Amen.
I desire to speak to the Lord.
Yes.
Put your petition before the Lord.
Yes.
Those people seeking their papers, put your petition before the Lord. Because you've heard, as it was said today, he can do it for the first time.
Yes.
And if he's done it before, he'll do it again. That's who he is.
Rock of ages, play for me. Let me hide myself in thee. Let the water and the fire from thy wounded side reach forth. Oh, be of Satan, thou will kill. Save from wrong.
Let's come before the Lord in a time of prayer. You take the deep that's inside of you. You take that burden,
yes,
and you lay it upon the altar before him. And you say, Lord, you have given the promise. Don't look at the circumstances. Just keep looking at the promise. Just lay it before him today and say, Lord, I'm bringing this unto thee. Now, sometimes we've borne burdens for too long. Now, sometimes we've borne burdens that we're not supposed to bear. Because the Bible says, casting all of your care upon him. For he cares for you. So why not bring it to the altar today and put it into his hands, because he knows how to bring it to pass. He knows how to bring the solution to exactly where you are. But he's waiting for you to come to him, to take him at his word.
Amen.
To come and lay it before him and to confess your trust and your faith in him. To say, Lord, I know you've done it already. And then leave it with him and let the vision run its course. And the vision will speak. Let's come before the Lord in prayer before we dismiss for the morning. Father, we bring ourselves.
Father, we thank thee for your goodness, your kindness, Lord, Father. In Lord, Father, you passing our way this morning. Father, you ministering the very needs that we have, even at heart. Father, how amazing you are. Lord, that you can bring, Lord, Savior, our brother from, Lord, another part of the world, oh God. Lord, and he can come, Lord. Lord, like our brother Heslo, even upon this day, Lord Savior. We never knew, Lord Savior, this day, what he would minister last night and this day. Lord, and what he would, Lord Savior, Lord, later today. But you knew everything, Lord Savior. Lord, we wait upon thee, Lord Savior, God. Waiting for the vision to be fulfilled, Lord Savior, God. Bless, Lord Savior, Father, the remainder of our service. And bless, Lord Savior, our break, we pray. Be with us, Lord, even as we wait upon the vision. In Jesus' name. Father, we thank thee for your goodness. We thank thee for your kindness, Lord.
Amen.
Father, Lord, even as our brother has expressed, Lord, that, Lord, you are not hindered or held by borders or visas.
Yes, Lord.
Father, Lord, you can bring our brother, Lord, across from so far away.
Amen.
To our minds, Lord. But you can place him like a pawn on a table and put him here, Father.
Amen.
Lord, and how he would come not to minister anything new, but Lord, to confirm, Father, as Lord, Father, we recall the pastor ministering exactly this principle, Father.
Hallelujah.
But Lord, how he was able to expound from another level,
Hallelujah.
Lord.
Yes,
and Lord, how we desire today, Father, to wait upon the vision, Lord Savior.
Yes.
For Lord Savior, we are all part of the vision, Lord.
Amen.
But we have to be, Lord, Father, in a specific, Lord Savior, condition, Lord.
Amen.
At a specific place, Lord Savior.
Amen. Amen.
Father, spiritually, Lord Savior, ready, Lord Savior, for that, Lord Savior, Father, to take place, Lord Savior, God.
Yes, Lord.
Let us not hinder this vision today.
Amen.
Let us not fight even against it, Lord Savior. Amen. As many have, Lord Savior God. Hallelujah. Father, they call the cloud what they said, Lord. But we, Lord Savior, in our confusion, Lord, we waited upon the vision, Lord Savior. Lord. And Lord, Father, how good it is, Lord. Lord, it's so clear now, Lord Savior. Amen. Father, that Lord Savior, that cloud, Lord, was you, Lord Savior God. We look to thee, Lord Savior, at this time. Bless, Lord Savior, this word ministered, Lord. Yes. For you desired, Lord Savior, for it to be ministered, Lord. Amen. Father, it adds, Lord Savior, to the many things, Lord, that have been ministered unto us, Lord Savior. Lord. How we would pray, Lord Father, that you would bless our brother. Amen. Restore virtue, Lord Savior. Amen. Replenish his strength, Lord Savior. Lord. That this afternoon, Lord Savior, as he would stand again, Lord Savior, we come anxiously, Lord. Father, oh God, waiting upon that vision, Lord. Amen. That you would, Lord Savior, fulfill, Lord Savior. Savior. Oh God, Lord Savior, the missing link, Lord Savior. Father, to the rest of our journey back to Eden, Lord Savior. Knowing in the Lord Savior, here upon this life, Lord, Father, there are our needs, Lord, that we would have, Lord Savior God. Amen. And you, Lord Savior, stir, Lord Savior. Father, your ministers, Lord, Father, to pass by, Lord, and minister to this small bride, Lord Savior, upon this day. We are grateful. Truly, you are magnificent God, Lord Savior. Amen. You are, Lord Savior, mighty above all. Father, to bring, Lord Savior, such a word. We desire to wait upon thee this day. Lord, to wait, Lord, for you said, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength, Lord. Father, we will be renewed, Lord Savior, in strength, Lord Savior God. Guide us as we part, Lord, and help us, Lord Father. For Lord, we come, Lord, Father, with excitement, Lord Savior. Bless us as we part. Be with us, Lord, as we ponder upon this, Lord Savior. We ask in your holy name, Jesus.
Amen. 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 Saints, let's come back at 3 o'clock for the afternoon service.
Amen.
When we were in Zimbabwe, we used to have two services on a Sunday in the early days. And the pastor used to always come in the afternoon and say, this is the real church here today.
Amen.
In the afternoon. Stay for the afternoon service, please. You know, what are you going to do that's more important than being in the house of the Lord?
Hallelujah.
Surely your studies can wait until the evening. Be in his presence, get quickened, and see how he'll help you in your studies. You know, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you.
Amen.
Really appreciate the word. May the Lord bless as we come back in the afternoon. Let's sing one as we dismiss.
Wait upon the Lord, shall renew their strength. Oh, they shall mount up with wings as a eagle. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Teach me, Lord, to wait. Yes, to wait. Teach me, Lord, to wait. Oh, down on my knees, till in your Teach
teach me, Lord, to live day that way, day that way. Upon the Lord, shall we know this way? Day shall mount up with me.